We should be good. Unless Mega broke something, which...
Highly likely.
He's known to do, actually.
I broke everything.
I think we're good. I think I see us.
You see us?
I think I see us, too. She thinks she sees us.
Not positive.
I think, yeah.
Is that us? Or
Why am I so large?
This
I love it.
No, you are the center of attention.
You're front and center,
buddy. You know what? Because you're the host tonight, Dan Finity. It's all you. You can't hide behind a microphone. We still see the beard.
I'm good at...
You can't hide... Mm-hmm. Look at Mega. You know you can't hide beards.
Mm-hmm.
You can't look at Mega because he's not showing up on your screen for some reason.
God dang it!
That's
why?
And on that wonderful note, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 158 of the Planet Destiny podcast. We're back, everybody. We're back on another wonderful Sunday evening right before Memorial Day. Hope you Guardians are having yourselves a wonderful weekend. And boy, do we have a show for you tonight. We got some stuff going on in Destiny. We've got the return of our usual host. We've got Miss Moonval back once again.
Hello. How are we doing?
I like the chicness of like the white fur behind you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
Queen of Westeros here.
This chair is very divisive. A lot of people are like, that's really cool, or that's hideous. And I'm like, yes, absolutely.
I love it. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Big Daddy Magwitch. What's up, brother?
I'd like to go on the record and saying that I am in favor of Moon's chair, as I have always wanted to sit on a Wampa from Star Wars. So.
Mega, your approval is all I ever wanted. Thank you.
Wampa Stampa. That's great.
Exactly.
Hi. Mr. Dan Finity.
Hey, what's going on?
Center screen tonight,
man.
Oh
my god, I'm so nervous. This is my second week. Why am I center screen? This makes no sense.
Don't be nervous.
It's just your lot in life. We can't control Discord. It picks where people's faces go, and it decided Dan Finity is the number one face tonight, so he's going to be taking over the show as soon as we're done with introductions. I'm done for the night. I'm actually not speaking again for the rest of the episode, so enjoy the introduction here, because we've got a very special guest tonight. Ooh, Mr. Jake, what's up, man?
What's up, man? It's good to see you, dude.
Yo, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me, man.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I wasn't even aware that this was happening until, like, a little bit before the show, and I was like, wait, Jake from where?
State Farm?
State Farm, yeah.
Jake from State Farm.
State Farm,
you lost some
there?
Weight and shaved the beard in the past couple of years, but you traded out State Farm for Streamlabs, the number one streamer help site, like, out there. Certainly my favorite people when it comes to live streams.
It makes me feel good to know that we're doing things right.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Like, before Moon takes over with this part, I will go on diatribes about how much I love Streamlabs. When I started streaming, of course, you know, whenever you become a streamer, you look at other people's streams and see what they're doing to kind of figure things out. Like, what should I have? Should I have an overlay? Should I have, like, alerts? I had no idea how any of that crap worked. Like, I was 10 years of video editing, I had no idea how Goth was getting his face on screen and whatnot, until I found a little site called Streamlabs. And, like, they did it all for me and just said, open a browser source in OBS and boom, you're done.
Make it so easy, yeah.
That works for me.
I'm just the guy that posts savage memes and support on the internet. I just, that's all I do.
He's doing it.
I'm pretty sure that's the most important job.
It's the best job ever.
Any company in
I was
going to
say, you're both the hero we need and the hero we deserve, literally right now.
Perfect.
Oh, my goodness. But
thank
Jake,
you so much for being our guest.
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you? What do you do?
Oh, God, it's going to take forever, so I'll keep it brief. Oh,
don't
man.
Keep it brief. We're here all night, baby.
I know. I do so much. I think the problem is it's probably easier to list what I don't do than what I do. Oh, God. Well, I guess if I had to do it, my name is Jake. Most people know me as the Jake Parker on Twitch. I am a sixth grade English teacher. I am a full-time broadcaster. I'm a master's student getting my master's in higher ed. And I'm also the event director for the Vanguard's charity event. That's future going to be the Vanguard's charity convention that's going to be coming up here in Las Vegas.
Wonderful. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Destiny and the Destiny community in the first place?
Oh my gosh. It starts with a motorcycle accident. Because
what?
Yes, it starts with
Let's go!
This is a great story.
This is the most dramatic.
Already the
I know.
Yeah.
Very, very dramatic opening. I'm in. I'm sold.
It's like pause scene. Yeah. No, 2015. I'm riding my motorcycle to work, and I'm trying to go to work because, you know, I like to make money. Money's great. Money's awesome. And I'm hanging a right turn. All of a sudden, this lady comes out of nowhere, and she's coming head on at me because she took her turn to the left towards me way too fast. So she swerved at the last second, and it was either hit her truck or go to the right and fall in some cactus. And it's Las Vegas. Cactus are abundant, so it's pick one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so that accident did happen. I had to get surgery on my knee. So I was out of work for a few months. In between my hiatus of being able to go make the money that I wanted, I found Twitch. And I started watching it religiously because I love video games. I'm only 20-something years old, and I only watched one of the two games that I ever had, which was either Titanfall or Destiny. And I didn't even know Destiny was that big of a deal. I was too busy watching Titanfall. So, but then I started watching Destiny, and I started really enjoying what was going on. And the first time I ever got involved in Destiny was watching King Athian, Broman, and T-Rex run the raids with Gunny, Rebel Eyes, and Char.
Yeah.
And they were running Prison of Elders. They were eventually doing Taken King, and I just fell in love with it. And I knew I wanted to be a streamer. So I took my lawsuit settlement money. Great purchase. And I bought a streaming setup, and the rest is history. I started streaming on Twitch full time while finishing off my bachelor's, and then began teaching and still did the same thing. And I guess the rest is history. I started trying to find my niche in the Destiny directory.
Awesome. That's quite the story. I don't think anybody else can like share that
way
one with
better,
you, huh?
Like origin streamer story that I think I've
no
ever
kidding.
Heard. Most of us just like wake up one day. I play a lot of Destiny. Maybe other people would like to see me play Destiny. Not got into an accident, used my lawsuit money to buy a streaming PC.
Jake's origin story is like, I was walking out of the opera with my parents when an unknown mugger named Joe Chill. Damn, all right. Batman of Twitch, didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah, the literal Batman of Twitch.
All right, so we fast forward to now. In the era of D2, how are you enjoying yourself in Destiny 2 and Warmind and all that fun stuff that's going on right now?
Do I need to talk about it from a console or PC perspective? Because there's a vast difference in this one right now.
You can talk about it from whatever perspective you think is most valid.
You know what's really, it's funny because I have a very optimistic, very positive view of the game. There's critical things that I'm sure you guys would agree that, you know, there's things we wish better on. But I genuinely think a lot of positivity about the game, specifically, obviously, from the hiatus lawsuit to where I am now. And just the genuine fun. Destiny 2 is the open world grinding experience that in games I've always wanted. And I always look to see, okay, this is what I love about the game. I wonder what's going to be next that's going to make it even better. I don't find what's wrong with the game, because if I do, that means I'm not having fun with it. And Warmind was the Batman story of Destiny 2 right now. It was the hero we needed and deserved. I think it was great. It really rose Curse of Osiris up to where we need it to be right now. And I see a lot of great potential for Destiny 2 to be exactly what I guess content creators and just people who play it in general really wanted out of the game from launch. And I think that, you know, Destiny 2 is... It's the hero we deserve right now.
I would agree. Yeah, I think with the Warmind drop, it was a significant improvement, and it makes things fun for a lot more people for sure. So you obviously have a pretty big passion for this game, and now you're organizing a whole tournament, PvP tournament. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
It didn't start off as a PvP tournament. That I will say that with all honesty. For those people that don't know, I live in Las Vegas. And October 1st, what happened in Las Vegas, a lot of people know there was the mass shooting that had happened over at the Mandalay Bay. Tragic, obviously. One of the things that wasn't happening was that the gaming community in Las Vegas, it's very divided. It's either you're either not known at all, or you're very well known and you own Las Vegas. And I guess I float kind of somewhere in between there, floating towards the bottom, but I don't care. So we wanted to take the gaming industry or the gaming community that we've developed over streaming and say, what can we do to give back? And I had been streaming kind of small little charity things for a while. And I said, okay, you know, my buddy and I, we want to set up a charity event where we'll play Destiny 2. It just released for console, and we'll raise money. for the American Red Cross, which was the charity of choice for the victims. So when all of a sudden we started networking with some of the other streamers in town, turned out one of them was the manager or one of the marketing directors for GameWorks, which is on the Las Vegas Strip. And he said, yeah, let's talk about getting your event here. We'll just run it inside of the esports little center we have. Turned out it was possible and it gained traction. So we did a 13-hour event there. We raised about $1,300 and we started seeing some legitimacy behind this. And then a new esports arena, or I guess a new esports little shop called the Dojo Esports Training Ground here in Vegas said, hey, bring it here. How many days do you want to do a stream for? So we said, OK, let's just throw off a number. Let's see how far we can go with it. 72 hours. Cool. That's fine.
Wow.
All of a sudden, we did a 72-hour Fortnite Destiny 2 charity event. We raised another $2,000. So during all of this, I'm trying to network with as much of the community as possible. Local radio stations, local esports shops, local gaming centers. Eventually, one of the guys I had networked with, his name is Vince Lewis. He is the esports direct, one of the esports coordinators over at the arena that had just opened up in the Luxor. I only knew him from when he was working at a PvP zone, which is one of the shops here in town. I didn't realize he was there. I had reached out to him and he said, hey, I'm the new coordinator here at the esports arena. What are you doing with your charity? And then all of a sudden he's like, what can you do as far as competitive? And I had the epiphany moment that I think Destiny needed. We need Destiny 2 competitive. So I said, okay, you know what? Let's make a tournament. Private matches are coming out. Let's shoot for dates after that. And we started working it together, and then boom, within a matter of, I think, 3 weeks, we had the dates locked in, we had the whole tournament set up, and that's it. Everything's good. The whole event's now ready to go, and it's going to be June 22nd to the 24th. I mean, it really just fell together just like that.
Cool. So you're looking for, are you still looking for people to sign up and turn out and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to have registration all the way up to the day before each day's event. So, and all of that's going to be in my pinned tweet at Parker on Twitch. All of the links are there. You can register for all 3 days. And the donation link to St. Jude is there as well, because this event is raising money for St. Jude while being a staple for Destiny. Because we got names that are going to be watching this, and I'll mention them in a second.
Sure. Uh-huh. So it's going to be later on in June. Do you have any obstacles that you're facing right now or that you have faced kind of leading up to this whole situation?
Obstacles? Oh, God.
Yeah, I would like to hear about that. That's,
maybe one or two. Mm-hmm.
The biggest one, I think, is just the community reception of it. People are already still thinking Destiny's not competitive. You can't make a tournament around Destiny 2. Yeah. What are you thinking? And the problem that happened, that especially now, is people keep thinking that Destiny 2 competitive is impossible. They don't think that there's any possible way Destiny 2 competitive will flourish or grow. And I'm stubborn. I'm blonde and I'm a Leo, so it's just what I do.
He's a Leo.
I hate the word impossible. The word impossible to me is what fueled me to be a teacher since I was 16 years old and to be a master's student. I'm the first person to graduate from college. Impossible is not in my vocabulary. I don't like that word. It sucks. And I'm set to prove people wrong. And people from the community that are genuinely interested in this have really owned this. And they've said, what can we do to get involved? This is what we've needed. This is what we wanted. Just nobody would take the time because people were so scared that it wasn't competitive, they wouldn't make the effort to make it competitive. Mm-hmm. So there was just that complacency that nobody wanted anyways. And I guess the biggest thing now is just once it does happen, are people going to see what they want? Because this is really the inaugural way of Destiny 2 and even the Destiny franchise moving into competitive. And there's a lot riding on this event. Bungie is going to be watching. Vicarious Visions is going to be watching. Activision is going to be watching. A lot of the rule sets that we created for this event were made by the developers. They helped us to guide how we set the rules for this event. So we've been talking and building a relationship with the developers, and they're going to watch this and say, okay, this is legitimately what we need. Let's see how this rolls. And there's a lot riding on this event, so there's pressure. There's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like something you definitely have to think creatively about to get where you are right now and not just kind of think, you know, color inside the line sort of thing. But yeah, do we have anybody that we may know who is going to be participating in the event? Anybody you'd like to talk about? in that aspect, or?
Excuse me. I had a couple people that had to unfortunately back out, but they've been very interested in the event so far. M-Tash was going to make an appearance as a as one of the casters. Unfortunately, he had to back out because of time constraints. Same thing with True Vanguard. He was going to be coming as well. Fallout and Bone CR, both of them are going to already confirmed to come out here. They're going to be doing things.
Cool, guys.
We definitely got them. BSK is confirmed that they're going
to be on the podcast, Fallout and Bones.
I know. I love them to death. They're so great.
They left. They left us, but yeah, you know what? No, it's fine. I still consider them.
BSK is already confirmed they're going to be sending out their team. So we're definitely going to see BSK. I'm hoping to coax in IM and Think Again to come out here as well. Have the grudge match of Death of Guardian Con 2017.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. We got a lot of great competitors. I'm still trying to confirm some more great talent as far as casting goes. I know I'm going to be casting as well. A lot of other major names that have really noticed, and Githalion and Broman, they've actually noticed and complimented on and gave constructive feedback saying this probably could have waited till September, which I can agree with, but there's no better time than the present to make an impact, especially for charity.
Yeah,
that's the big thing there, is that it's for charity, and that's what makes it the most important.
Absolutely.
Before I hand this back to TBL so we can talk about the goings on in Destiny 2 right now, is there anything else you'd like us to know? Anything else you'd like to say about yourself or the tournament, or, you know, anything in general?
I'm 6'1" and I have 3 cats.
Three cats.
I just can't really. There's not much more than that. I'm very excited to be able to. I've always tried to think that, you know, when I started streaming Destiny or getting involved in the directory, that I was going to find my niche. Yeah, that's one of the biggest things as a streamer. You got to find where you fit. And I think this is really where it belongs. And I think that there's going to be a lot of exposure for the charity. We've already got Monster Energy behind this. We've got a couple of other great sponsors. I mean, it has a home, and it's going to turn into essentially the West Side Guardian Con, where it's going to turn into a convention. I just partnered with a global events company, so this event's going to explode. And I want people to recognize it, that one, it's for charity, and two, it's a community that we've needed to hone in and develop more foundation with, because let's face it, the community's been kind of back and forth, and and
a little bit divided.
This is going to build that bridge. We're finally going to mend a lot of that broken promise that's been going on, and I think this is going to be a great thing for the community.
I agree.
I would certainly agree with that too.
Yeah, for sure. Are you going to be going to Guardian Con this year?
Yes.
Yes, so we'll be seeing you there as well.
You can watch me and Moon fight in the parking lot.
Yay!
Oh, no, we're going to fight in the parking lot. Yeah. We're not going to fight in the parking lot.
She thinks we're not going to, but we definitely
it's
are.
Gonna
I'm
going to
get,
right?
Like, suplexed by Mega in the parking lot at Guardian Con, and it's going to be hilarious.
I mean, knows a few wrestling moves, can confirm.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, we know. I'm terrified. All right.
Right. I mean, I think this whole tournament thing, I think really it couldn't have come at a better time. I think you're absolutely right when you say there's no time like the present. We've got private matches in the game now. Mm-hmm. You can select and really organize those tournaments in a way that wasn't really possible within D2 right now. And there is a resurgence of the population with Warmind. A lot of players are coming back with both this DLC, with E3 coming up in, 2 weeks? We're sure to learn about whatever's going to be coming during the September expansion. I think, now is a great time to shine a spotlight on the game. And I think it's absolutely fantastic that you guys are setting stuff up over there on the West Coast side. I love Vegas. I go there like every other year. So it's good to know that there's going to be like a big Destiny thing that I'll be able to do every now and again when I'm there.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool stuff, man. Well, right on. Like you said, we talk some weekly Destiny nonsense.
I think that sounds
good. What we got going on this week?
What did we just do like hours ago?
what did you do? Nailed Escalation Protocol. We did.
Past 7.
Did
we got 9 awesome, people man. Together and managed to complete it. And
that's awesome.
It was insane.
Yeah.
And I was pretty sure my console was going to explode.
Shocked
because
and appalled.
All those frames.
Shocked and appalled that I wasn't invited, but I also wasn't
pretty,
home, so it's okay.
Okay. we were rolling Iron Banner, and we got an invitation from a couple of my clanmates that were just like, hey, we've got an instance ready if you guys want to jump in.
Get on
the,
it, right?
The slow spread of current meta, the virus, has finally led to your ultimate goal. of getting escalation protocol done. Okay. All right, cool.
So how was your experience running through and taking down all seven levels of the escalation protocol?
It was good. Mm-hmm. I was severely underleveled for it. So.
Everyone is. The magic thing about escalation protocol is it doesn't matter what level you are. You're always going to be underleveled for it.
It felt...
Mm-hmm. You're going to get squished.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got pulled into one on Friday, and that went super smooth. This one, we got the boss down in like 17 seconds left to go. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Like,
oh, wow. Something to that effect, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I don't know, like... It's super fun to do, and I can finally see why everybody's just like, no, we need 9 people in an area now. Like, please, can we just do this? Because it is a blast trying to coordinate, like, all those supers. Like, how you could do it with 6 randoms outside of your 3-person fire team is a little beyond me right now. You know? But, like, once everybody's up to 385, who knows? But right now, that's the way to do it.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, you know, and you kind of hitting on a notion there. Escalation protocol, I've certainly had a lot of fun with it when I've gotten like into a group of 9 people and just rushing with it. Nim and I were doing that last week, and it really is great when you get that coordination down. You're with a group of people who are all just on comms talking about things and burning through the levels. We didn't beat it. I think it was the Crota boss last week, and that dude is impossible.
He is way harder than the one this time.
Yeah, Golgi.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Ugh. But that touches on something, you know, that's been kind of a point of contention with the community over the past week or so, and that is the difficulty of escalation protocol and the viability of it being a 3-person activity. Of course, in this week at Bungie, we got a little bit of a word back from Bungie about escalation protocol. Currently, they aren't really planning on making any big changes to it, and they stated that it is an activity that's designed for 3 max power guardians out there. So I'm assuming everybody here has had a chance to go through, maybe not complete, but at least play escalation protocol. Mm-hmm. Would I be correct in assuming that?
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's balanced for 3 people?
It's where we hard. Are
hold on.
Hard to imagine getting either of the last bosses that I've done completed with only 3 people. I think the first 6 levels can pretty easily be done with 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, I wonder if I'm already max level, why am I even putting myself through this for this thing? I mean, I guess the gun is what I'm after more than anything. Yeah.
The funny thing about it is when they did the reveal stream, and I think it was one of the guys from Vicarious Visions was like, this is hard. I was like, is it
probably
really?
Not.
And then it came out, and I was like, oh, yeah.
I never believe them either when they say things like that. I'm like, these guys just suck. They don't know.
Once you got it, Spongy. You got it. You made a real hard activity.
By a team of 3 already, right?
It It took them 8 hours. A team of 3 385 players.
Yeah.
They had to
not only 3 385 players, but 3 incredibly skilled 385.
It was glad in his group. It took them 8 hours to beat it.
Yeah.
And that was the easy boss. Yeah. I can't imagine them trying to take down Mini Crota from last week with 3 people. Holy, I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
And, that seems to be kind of a point of contention with the community right now, because a lot of people are experiencing escalation protocol, seeing exactly how difficult it is, and calling shenanigans on Bungie for saying that it's a 3-person activity. Now, I think, certainly escalation protocol was designed for 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way it works probably changed a little bit after that community summit that was had about a month or so ago when they said, you know, it was a little bit too easy, so they bumped up the difficulty based on feedback from there. So it's actually kind of our fault for once. It's content creators' fault that
for
escalation protocol
says,
started. So
I feel like there's a lot of things that are our fault.
Chat, I'll give you 1.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets 1. This is your 1 where you get to blame us. You can Our bad on this. We made escalation protocol too hard, and I will never get that shotgun now, and I'm sad about it.
Oh,
I don't think it's too
mad about it, TBL.
I think it's perfectly doable. I think it'll be pretty easy to get done with 6 people. Yeah. And I don't think it's yeah, and I don't think it's that hard to get two. As somebody who in Destiny 1 and in Destiny 2 has done a fair bit of forced matchmaking and patrols, it's not that hard to get two fire teams coordinated. Three is hard. Mm-hmm. Getting nine people is hard. Six people isn't that difficult if you know anybody who lives near you, or if you're just willing to spam a lot of messages at strangers and ask them to invite you. Like, I would like it if there was matchmaking for like six people in patrol. I would just like that in general, to have six people in patrol, because that's just more fun. More people, more fun, baby.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that is, yep.
I don't think it's like impossibly hard. I think we'll get there maybe with some advanced strategies on YouTube on how to like beat the bosses down really easily. Like, Data will make some guides eventually that is how to do this with three guardians, 385, easy method. And then we'll have big clickbait thumbnails from everybody and we'll all figure it out that way. We'll all find the cheese spots. But I wish it was a little, because they're like raid bosses, like raid boss difficulty. It's like, here, now three-man in Crota is just what you're supposed to do. You're just supposed to three-man him. Okay, I guess. Like, it's weird, but all right, let's do it. I mean, Court of Oryx was like that too, though, kind of, right? Like the tier three runes?
The first week, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like...
It was rough the first week.
It's got to be doable. Is it harder? Is the last boss harder than a tier three Court of Oryx rune? I don't know the answer to that. I can't decide if it is or not.
There were time limits on Court of Oryx, weren't there?
Yes.
I think absolutely.
Yes,
yeah.
There were. Yeah.
I don't think they're as strict as some of the ones in Escalation Protocol now. That one last week, I don't know how people were beating that Crota boss within the time limit there. Every time the team I was with, I managed to get his shield down. It was like, all right, we got a shield down.
We're all dead now. Like,
we're all dead.
Like, to do DPS.
And there's 20 seconds left, but we got his shield down.
We were doing it with Fallout. Fallout and I, we had a 9-man team last week, and we had one really good run down where we were like, okay, we could beat this. Like, we got him less than like half health, and we all got like, we figured out, you know, we'll have like three people sword, and those people got really good at avoiding getting stomped on or whatever. And we did our next run and we were ready. Like, we were flawlessly running through it. We get to the sword knight, he's out, we blast him, destroy him, but he dies and flies up into the air. And the swords are too high for us to reach.
Oh no!
we're all just like standing there, like, well, I guess there it is. And then we never got another good run, and we gave up. So it was, yeah, it was pretty sad about it. Pretty depressed that our momentum just got ripped out from under us.
It's tough, man. It is legitimately a difficult activity, and I like that. And I really do hope that as the weeks go on and more people hit 385, that when you get a group of maybe six people within a patrol space, maybe it'll be a lot easier of a challenge for you to take down, a lot more doable for most people. Because right now, if we could somehow pull the clear numbers, the clear percentages for Escalation Protocol, they would be lower than Spire of Stars on the first weekend with how many people have beaten it. But I do think that it highlights something that you spoke about, Mega, and something that personally, I know you've been complaining about for years when it comes to Destiny. I think it really highlights the fact that why can't we bring six people into patrol? Patrol zones can handle up to what, nine players right now, something like that. Why can't we bring six people in? This perfectly highlights the need for being able to make a full fire team.
I think they just think it'll be too easy to like grind patrol stuff. But does anyone do that anyway? I don't know. Yeah. That made more sense to me in Destiny 1, where like collecting materials was like a big part of it. Like, you know, like you needed to grind that kind of stuff out, but I've never even once felt the need to do a patrol in Destiny 2, really, other than now on Mars to get, like, keys for...
The Mason Dawn stuff.
Yeah. Like, that's it. So I don't know why it would even matter if we could burn through a bunch of that stuff right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Jake, what about you? Have you experienced...
What are your thoughts on the EP, on Bungie's new struggles. EP that they dropped on us?
EP.
I haven't even beaten level 3, dude.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's rough, man. Well, it's again, it's like you brought it up, though. You know, it's one of those things that you can't really do unless you're a very powerful three-man fire team. And, you know, even then, I'm glad about Bungie for doing this. I'm really happy. There is no participation trophy anymore. You know, there's when you get into this, you're either going to win or you're going to fail. Yep. And if you fail, then you fail. There's no more of a we're going to hand it to you. If you don't get it, then oh well, you're just going to have to find a way to get it eventually.
Try again.
And I really feel that this is a great direction that we're seeing a whole new Bungie, and not only just on what they're doing in social media, it's reflecting in game. And I'm really happy to see that something so difficult is literally not even just a raid or anything like that. It's just out there, and we can go experience this. We can actually immerse ourselves in it with the hopes that couple blue name people decide to come out and join us at any time.
Yeah.
And I love that, because as soon as I started, I'll have 5-6 people trying to run off of me 30 seconds before the boss needs to die. But the people want it. People, and there's a huge end game about it, because it recycles every week, and the rewards are great. You have the Nessid Dawns, and you have a lot of things that are packed into one jam little package, and there's difficulty behind it. There's no more reaching. And I'm really happy to see this. Again, I think the matchmaking thing might be something to discuss later. But if they really did put it into something that is supposed to be meant for three-man fire teams, I'm glad it takes this long, because I might be triggered. I've only, you know, beaten level 3. That's about as far as I've gotten. I still have an end result I know I want to get to, and it elongates my time, and it lets me enjoy more of Destiny just because of the fact that I'm not there yet. I want to be, so I'm going to play more and get more out of my experience.
I'd like to call back to an old Planet Destiny podcast episode that I want to say sometime in August of last year. We were all sitting here discussing what would we love to see in the future versions of Destiny, and old Mega Magwitch threw out something that made Fallout plays laugh at him like he was an idiot, and that was I'd really like end game patrols. I said I would love for patrols to be really hard, and I was laughed out of the room. All right, by that man. Well, you know what? Who's laughing now? Because we got it, baby.
Who's laughing now, Fallout? Who's laughing now? Yeah.
When?
And it's an in-game patrol mission. You're absolutely right. And it's worth running because the gear from it is incredible. It's in-game, like, raid-tier gear. That shotgun, I have seen more crazy videos of people erasing bosses with that shotgun than I have seen from D2 basically since it came out.
Yeah.
Probably the most satisfying video I've seen this week was one that popped up on the subreddit of a fire team destroying Favix from the Exodus crash strike before he got to disappear and run away.
You mean they erased him from existence? Erased him from the strike playlist? Is that what you're saying to me?
That guy is the reason that strike is
so
getting
hard,
deleted.
He's not even in strikes anymore.
He got out of the game. They killed him.
He lost his entire family that day.
Oh, his entire lineage gone.
Right?
That whole strike zone gone.
His wife left
we're
him.
We're better for it.
Kids are at the grandparents. This whole thing.
You know, there's something in the game that I feel is underrepresented or just like really undervalued, and that's Lost Sectors. I feel like Lost Sectors, they had their moment with faction rallies, and then obviously they you know, they patched them out so you can't go through the same door that you always do and go back. So one of the things that I had thought of, like, I want to go back into Lost Sectors. I want to enjoy all the Lost Sectors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought of this idea, and I want to throw it out to Bungie and see what they catch on it, is the opportunity to do what I like to call a hidden sector. And what I mean by that is that you have to go into these Lost Sectors, and inside one of the Lost Sectors on one of the planets in one area, there is a hidden sector inside here with a specific high tier boss that you need a fire team of 3-4 that you need to go defeat, but you don't get to know which one it is. You have to go search these Lost Sectors, and you're guaranteed an exotic drop with a higher light level, or unless you're at the or what it is, then you get a guaranteed exotic drop with the catalyst already built in. So I want to see Lost Sectors actually have value. And why not have it to where you now have to go to all of them, find this boss, defeat it with a fire team, and get your items, and then you get to grind that item from there. I don't know why this shouldn't be a thing. It's perfectly possible.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I think I've even said on this show before, I feel like Lost Sectors, they're such an afterthought for most players now. Mm-hmm. There's so many of them in the game. I don't understand why they didn't all come with like their own unique item drop or some mm-hmm. kind of armor set. Because right now mm-hmm. they're basically just for what? Planetary tokens? Yep. That's yeah. all Lost Sectors rallies. Are for.
Materials.
And I can remember before D2 mm-hmm. came out when they brought mm-hmm. up the notion of Lost Sectors. They talked about them
they
being
were
like,
so hyped up.
Oh, they're yeah. like, these are going to be like little mini hidden dungeons that are going to be throughout yeah. the world spaces. And there could have been so much.
I was coming off the hype of like Breath of the Wild when they were talking about that, and I'm like, oh, so yeah, these are all right? going to be like little actual mini dungeons, like Breath of, yeah, these are going to be my shrine equivalents. And then it was like, oh no, they're just these straightforward things on your map. You got to go through and kill a boss. It takes like two rockets and you're done.
Two tokens.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
There you go.
I can't.
Here's your tokens,
the
kid.
The name alone infuriates me, and in that they're not lost. I just wish that they at least weren't just marked on the map for me. I would be so happy if there was. Just the chance that I was walking and I stumbled upon a cave and I'm like, ooh, new Lost Sector. Hey, I found one. Like, that would have been...
Yeah. Oh, man, I wonder what gear drops from this one.
It would have at least been something.
Yeah, I like that idea of armor being specific. Cool. Like, it would be yeah. a strike to yeah. a Lost Sector or maybe even a planet. That would be really interesting.
Can we link? Okay, so I've said before, let's turn the Infinite Forest into a roguelike. You know, because last week you all were talking mm-hmm. about just making a battle royale Destiny, and in the comments I was like, just make Infinite Force a roguelike and I'm good. We'll do that, and we'll have the Lost Sectors all get joined in there too. When you go through a phase of the Infinite Forest, then it'll take you to a Lost Sector, you beat that, opens you back up into an Infinite Forest gateway again, you move on to the next spot. Let's just take all these old assets and reuse them, Bungie. I'm
I was
going
to say, only if they tie old exotics from D1 to different phases of the Infinite Force.
There we go. Mm-hmm. I'm into that.
Give me my Hawk move. Give it to me right now.
We'll do
that's
anything
what he means
for
by that.
Right now.
Specifically. Yeah, give us more rabbit holes to fall down,
yeah.
Bungie.
Yeah.
Just completely get lost and immersed in.
They've done a good job. So
that's what...
Of like yeah. adding discoverability so back far. In with Warmind. It's
I want the people that made Warmind to be the same people who made Lost Sectors. Can we make that a thing? Can we just rework the whole idea of Lost Sectors with the same people who did all the stuff in Warmind?
So just have Vicarious Visions do everything. Hey, BB, do everything.
You got this right. Deej gonna go tweet some memes, baby.
Look at me. You are the Bungie now. Granted, they did a great job with Warmind. I mean, I find this is the most I've been playing Destiny 2 basically mm-hmm. since it came out. When it comes to Warmind, I hop on it every day. Mission accomplished. Yeah. Good stuff.
Certainly the most I've been playing since before Curse of Osiris came out for me.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Good job, Vicarious
like
Visions.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Now do more for me. Give me more. We are locusts and we have consumed what you've given us. Give us more.
Jesus Christ.
Not wrong. Yes. Pretty good analogy when it comes to the Destiny community.
Anything, we pick that crab clean in like a week and it's like more. We're hungry still.
Yeah, what's this? Where's the rest? But speaking of the rest, we've got some other stuff going on this week in the world of Destiny. Mm-hmm. We've got the return of Lord Saladbar. Mm-hmm. He's back with the Iron Banner. Any of you guys been getting down in some of the, I can't call it Premier PvP anymore. It doesn't drop at light level gear.
Yeah.
Why not?
I can say that this is the first time that I've actually liked the armor set that's tied to Iron Banner.
It's gorgeous.
D2. With the ornament for
the
this
first
season.
Time. How dare you?
It's awesome.
How dare you
disparage
the good
it's a little
I
heretical.
Not, just, I have
just
not.
A little heretical.
The Iron Trilogy armor is beautiful, and I will hear no words against it, all right?
Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I just don't.
I like anything that makes me look like Shredder, so I'm in. Like, I want to be the Shredder.
Oh my god.
Babies.
But it's really given me something to grind for because there's, you have to do certain things to get certain ornaments to, you know, actually have them be applied to your armor. So that's really cool.
Which is exactly what I love that thing in D2, the grinding specific things for ornaments. I feel like we talked about wanting that like in Destiny 1 exotic ornaments. Like, mm-hmm. we've always, like, wanted yeah. stuff like yeah. that. Like, it's... That is... top-notch, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with Catalyst, too. I love things where I specifically know what I have to do, and it's just grind. That's a grind. I like a grind like yeah. that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same.
That being...
Has anybody...
That being good. Said, ahead, I got a... So, I had the Catalyst for the Borealis drop, like, mm-hmm. probably the first week. Mm-hmm. Had not touched the gun at all. Right? I get one to drop from Cade for doing the Flashpoint this week, and it is a Borealis, and it says, oh, hey, just upgrade it. You got the... You already did the Catalyst. I was like, I had no idea that I had already completed it. So maybe there should be something else.
Are you so, sure so you're not like me and you think you've done it and then you realize that looking at the catalyst isn't what it is, but you have to look at the little thing down and to the left of the catalyst, like in your inventory slot for it?
Dude, I have not had an exotic on... on a slot of mine until this expansion came out, and it's only been Darcy because I've been trying to grind out those headshots. Mm-hmm. And for what I just got the Borealis done. Congratulations, that's me. Cute. No effort. No
you,
effort.
I've got the Borealis catalyst to drop, so I'm going to have to look at what do you even have to do for it? What's
I have no idea. It was just auto-completed.
I'm not turning on my console to look right
this
now.
This is your freebie, Dan. Freebie. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Look, just take it.
I'm taking it. I'm just going to say. Maybe a little bit
yeah, more. It's a little weird that the catalyst for specific guns can drop while you're not using that gun, while you don't have it equipped, while you don't even have it in your inventory. I didn't know yeah. you could complete the catalyst challenge while not having those weapons in your inventory or equipped. That's a little weird.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Has anybody picked up any weapons in Iron Banner that they've been enjoying at all? Because I haven't seen a lot of buzz around guns this season.
It's basically just the hero's burden, and you can ignore the rest.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah, just the submachine gun. It's about the only thing that really stands out to me.
Mm-hmm. I've heard very little hype on anything, so I've just kind of ignored what dropped. I've never been... I get one... gun set that I like and I stick with it for like 4 years, and then when the next game comes out yeah. I change.
That's about the way it is.
Yeah,
I do the same thing
until Fallout's like, hey, use this. I don't use something, so yeah.
I got excited when it looked like a hacksaw, and then I realized it wasn't a hacksaw.
Oh, that hit TVL deep. Look at his face.
I missed the hacksaw.
So many other hacksaws. It was so good.
So good, yeah. Man.
Mm-hmm. That was like my first PvP weapon, mm-hmm. is the Hoxha.
You know what I really like about Iron Banner the most, though, is the 6v6. And mm-hmm. I, a lot of people are like, yeah, we got 6v6. They don't realize that 80% of the maps that we have were not designed mm-hmm. for 6v6. Mm-hmm. So because the maps are not designed, that way, everybody has to play differently. Because one, you're going to get spawn camped. There's no way around yep. it. You're going to get spawn camped. But two, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for you to play aggressively and actually end up on top now, because people are trying to run in teams. But when you are in Iron Banner, team play is not always a factor if you die. And I love the fact that 6v6 is so much more aggressive. I've always wanted and promoted more aggressive gameplay in PvP. Yeah. And I'm really glad that we're starting to see the press for aggressive. And now that weapons are starting to really be looked at and say, how can we make them better? Bungie is starting to really hit territory we needed to a long time ago. And I'm loving the reskinned maps. I don't know why people don't like them.
Because people don't like the reskinned maps?
There's people that are like, you should have left it in D1. I was like, well, then you should have stayed in D1.
Screw
like,
you.
Yeah, just stay there.
Yeah, there's people saying that about exotics, too. Like, just leave it in D1. We need new... No. I want my nostalgia at the same
it's
time.
Free.
You know, like, it's not
it's
that
good.
Big of a
it's
deal.
It's free, and it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. What are you complaining about?
You complain about free.
I can at least understand how you could maybe be like salty about the exotics. You're just like, why couldn't I just have it the whole time? Like, because you lost it. Like, that was like a whole big thing is we lost our crap. But there was no big thing about me losing my maps. I always want more maps. Give me my maps. What are you bitching about? Like,
give me my maps.
More maps?
Yeah, yeah, some people just don't want them at all. What? They don't want in any new stuff.
Some of the returning D1 maps are actually my favorite in D2. Yeah, yeah. Like Burnout?
Burnout,
that's probably... That and what is it? What's the Shores of Time remake?
Distant Shore. Yeah.
Something like that. Those are like my two favorite maps in PvP right now. So, no, continue bringing me more D1 maps. I want to see Rusted Lands. I want to see Exodus Blue.
No, Pantheon, please, dude. It's about Pantheon.
Yo, Pantheon. Bring it back, baby.
I want the Cauldron, but, you know, that's just me.
You know, people don't... I like Cauldron. I like Vertigo, but people didn't like it.
I love Vertigo for Rift, because it was so much fun for
that. They need to bring back Rifts.
Please. I like Rift. People hate Rift. Please. I like Rift.
Let me play Warlock Space Football.
Rift was like the only game mode I could ever be top of the leaderboard on, because you just grab the freaking ball and then you just run with it and you get more points than everybody.
Mega was the madman.
Yeah, I was that guy who just went. I was just on my Night Stalker, just styling on everybody, pulling LeBron moves, dipping and dunking. You know,
just juking.
Exactly.
Slam it home, baby.
Oh, D1.
Rick feels my favorite.
Yeah, so you mentioned, Jake, that you like a more aggressive style of play, and that resonates with me because I am an ape in PvP. That's all I do. I just rush people. I love being aggressive. I come from Twitch shooting. It made my heart sing when you said that you're a Titanfall boy, because that's what I'm talking about. Titanfall, very fast moving, very, very high speed Twitch shooting game. And it's probably one of my favorite FPS games of all time now because of the movement system in it. It's so good, and it's so criminal that it didn't get the popularity that it deserved. But it leads me to the question of, do you think that PvP needs to be further sped up in Destiny 2? And that can include movement speed, time to kill, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, 100%. The problem that we're having right now is that people look at PvP as a passive game. And a lot of it, I would agree with most of that, until you look at the Dawnblade and the Arcstrider and think, okay, maybe not. You see PvP really start to show a lot more aggressive playstyles because they're increasing the mobility for characters. They're increasing the ability for things like Catalyst, which are going to decrease your time to kill. You're starting to really see them favor those people that are truly starting to be competitive, and we want, and they really need to embrace that, because that's the majority of the people that are playing. They're going objectively. They don't just want to go in and say, okay, I'm just going to run around a few, I'm going to shoot a couple people, I'm going to die. That's too repetitive. If I'm going in with the expectation of following the same thing, which is why I really firmly believe we need objective based games, I would love to see all of the supers have an extreme mobility buff. I want to see golden guns, if you decrease the time, speed those people up and make them run fast. Why can't we not have supers have that extreme amount of mobility? Because you only have it for 10, 20 seconds anyways. And then the rest of the time, you can speed up the characters, have them run around the map a lot faster. Like, there's no reason why they shouldn't cater to faster gameplay. That's because faster gameplay leads to more aggressive gameplay, I really feel.
Yeah, and I mean, all the evidence you need is Destiny 1. Mm-hmm. Look at the you could look at the highest levels of PvP play in D1. It was a very fast-moving game, a very fast-moving, aggressive-styled game. And I never really understood the kind of directed glide away from that to making D2 AA much more slow, methodical kind of a gameplay experience. I don't really think it's jived too well with D2. So yeah, I'm with you, man. Every step they take towards making the game more fast-paced, I'm right on board with that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Same. Absolutely.
I don't know if anybody's gone back to like D1 and played some PvP in there, but you...
I have.
Oh god, the difference.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
You feel it right away. And at first you're just like, I don't know what to do, at least I am, and then you just... I just fall right back into it.
I don't know which one's better, like in a perfect world, which one maximizes more people's enjoyments on the, if you took a census of all people. But I know for me, someone who does not pay a lot of attention to teamwork and who just likes to run off and attack people, it was definitely a lot better for me in D1.
We need a TTK decrease. We gotta see the ability to run 1v3 or 1v4 and be able to hang up on top. We have to.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's excitement. I want that excitement, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit spicy.
It's got to be hard to do, but it should be doable. Yeah.
Thumbs.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're seeing that. I think you're seeing that with weapons like the Vigilance Wing, mm-hmm. with Graviton Lance, mm-hmm. with how the usage of those two weapons in particular has absolutely skyrocketed since they saw some changes. It's because people are looking for those faster time to kill mm-hmm. weapons. They're looking to be able to enter into something other than a 1v1 and come out on top. You know, with something like Vigilance Wing, you can enter a 1v2 and take both people out if you're more skilled than they are, which not really the case mm-hmm. with most other weapons in the environment we have in D2 right now, unless you've got power ammo.
Yeah.
And you see the snowballs mm-hmm. that kind of happen in Crucible right now, where it's just one person gets Acrius and boom, the entire game. It's just them running from spawn to spawn with Acrius.
Yeah. So I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but like looking at some of the exotic armor changes too, that they're doing, especially for the Hunter class, it looks like they're also trying to reward different playstyles now too. Like if you look at the Mechaneer's mm-hmm. trick sleeves, like mm-hmm. with the buff to like the side to changing over to sidearms, I could see that working really well in tangent with Sturm and Drang. Like you could just synergize mm-hmm. all of that really really well. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that we need to see more in Destiny as a whole, is just rewarding mm-hmm. different playstyles. Because right now it's group up and shoot, or use Vigilance Wing and Graviton Lance. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I will say, as somebody who has just started leveling up on PC, like completely fresh, that experience of playing through the campaign for the first time and playing some PvP, doing it all without any exotics and then earning like Graviton Lance and some exotics like along the way, you can see how much the game has come along in terms of like speeding things up when you have to start. Like I was basically trapped in the you have to play the way it was before mode for mm-hmm. a while. So like leveling up was like, oh my god, like going into PvP, I've got a green hand cannon, I've got like a blue SMG, like that's all mm-hmm. I have. I'm like, okay, let's try, and it's horrific. And then I got the Graviton Lance and it's like, oh yeah, this is much faster, this is much better, yes, more of this please.
Oh boy, I win.
Yeah. So yeah. I've gotten to just in the last 2 days, like experience the before and after of Destiny 2's lifespan thus far, and you can see the progress is all heading in a good direction if you do that.
Exotics feel exotic.
Yes, it's a much, they do. It's a much better world. I'm hopeful. Very hopeful.
Got to get some of the legendaries to catch up to those exotics now, which hopefully we'll be hearing more about as we move forward. We got Crucible Labs coming up this week.
And, this week.
Right. Ooh, yeah.
It's this week, and they haven't said anything. I don't know what to feel about that.
I know, right?
I like it. I don't know what to expect. Oh, God, I hope it's...
That wasn't even in the TWAB.
Nope, my God. Not at all. Didn't mention it at all.
You know what else they didn't mention? Destiny 1 on PC. Oh.
When is it happening? I need it. Like, right this second.
Yes.
Let's cannibalize ourselves by releasing our own game on PC. Let's cannibalize our already small player base on PC with our old game that most people would probably jump to instead of this one for PvP.
I would.
There was something I had pitched a long time ago to a lot of people, because we can flag our Bungie accounts. I know we can do that. Why can we not have cross-game questing? I really don't understand why we can't do this thing where they can literally flag our accounts and say you need to go. If you don't have D1, it's optional. But you can go back to D1, go do a specific expansion or a mission or a raid, and you can come back to Destiny 2 with a flagged account and get a unique reward, like an emblem, like the streamer emblem from D1. Where's our streamer emblem stuff, you know, why can we not have cross game questing with our accounts? I don't see why that's not a possibility.
They don't want to do it.
because
they gotta stick their hands in a bunch of spaghetti.
My imagination is somebody says something like that to them, there's like, No, fuck them.
No.
Yeah.
I want a streamer emblem again. Yeah, no. Now that you mentioned that, like, why can't I have that again? Is that, like, super difficult?
I never got that one. I probably should have linked my account at some point. I only needed a movie of the week back then, and I don't know why I can't just have that again. Can you guys, Bungie, look, if anyone out there is listening to this, look, I earned it four times in D1. Can I just freaking have it? Like, it still exists. I get it getting rid of the ones that don't exist anymore. But this one exists. Just give it to me. Just give me it back. It's mine. I want it. I'm coming for you.
This man saw something weird on the moon. Yeah. I mean, come on. Give him a Zimple back. Come on, please.
That's it.
And shoot, I mean, I would even take that, you know, so some sort of linking between your D1 account and D2 just to get the veteran dialogue back for PC. Mm-hmm. It absolutely infuriates me sometimes when I run missions on PC and they're like, the Taken, what are those? Or Oryx. Like, there's one line from Sagira where she's like, you two both know Oryx is dead, right?
Like, bitch.
Nah, I just killed him. That's all. You know? I'm the one who walked into his house, bopped him, walked into his space spectral house, bopped him again, and then took his soul and turned it into a gun. Yeah. Nah, I didn't know Orch was dead.
Went back to his son's throne world and killed his son with his own sword. That's the way the TVL rolls.
Again, he's just... with his own sword. I don't know who those guys are. That frustrates me, and I wish... I'm right there with you, Jake. I wish there was some sort of account linking that could happen there. Mm-hmm. Just for even for little things like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the little things that matter, dude. Little things matter.
It is.
The wish list.
It grows ever longer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
what do you feel like a community suggestion box for Bungie to be able to throw things in? Like an upvoting system?
Isn't that Reddit?
That's Reddit.
They read it.
I think they have a wish list on the Destiny the Game subreddit. Yeah, I want
to
say.
I'm going to have to check.
They've got like a community wish list or something on there. Just I can only careful. Imagine
like,
how
I
long
feel like
it
most
is.
Most of the highest upvoted things are probably very illegal for Bungie to do to themselves. Yeah. But, you know, that's just...
I was going to say, be careful on Reddit.
The general...
I avoid Reddit at all costs.
Same.
Hey, Reddit isn't
which
always
I shouldn't because there's
bad.
Lots of useful stuff on there, yes. But at the same time, it's like my brain can only handle so much.
I like you, Reddit.
I still peruse. Even when I didn't play Destiny for like over a month, I still went to the Destiny the Game subreddit like every day because that's just like that's like home base for me when I start up the internet. I'm like, let's see what's on here and ignore the comments, but see if there's anything interested in any interesting thread titles.
Is that the strategy?
Yes.
Don't lie, Mega. You're just like, let's see if anybody's posted one of Husky Raid's videos today.
I look for anybody who posts any video that says, like, saw something strange and they're talking, like, seriously. I scroll down for that one guy who's like, thought this was going to be a Husky Raid video. And I'm like, yeah. We still matter.
Still relevant.
Yo, so we've got an exotic armor sandbox change coming into effect this week, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do believe they talked a bit about that during the TWAB. You guys want to go over some of the armor that is being changed in this first wave?
Yes, and while we do that, people in chat should start thinking of questions for us because we're already long into this podcast, surprisingly long.
This went flying by. Yeah.
So start thinking of questions and tell me what armor changes are coming, TBL.
Okay, so first up, Titans. Syntheseps are seeing a bit of a change. Here's what they say. Previously, the perk for Syntheseps... adjusted your melee damage depending on the number of enemies surrounding you. Now it grants you a flat bonus to melee and super damage when you're surrounded by three or more enemies. The buff is retained for a short duration after you are no longer surrounded. So basically, it's no longer going to be a ramping buff, like when you have one enemy near you, then two, then three. Whenever you have three, you're going to get a flat damage increase to your melee and super damage, and it'll last for a little while longer after you kill everything around you.
And they want that... I like that they say, like, why they did it, right? They say they wanted that for, because it's always been good in PvP, but it hasn't really gotten use in PvE, I guess. So they're trying to, like, bump it up.
Trying to streamline its abilities a little bit more for both game modes. And
cool.
I like that.
I like it.
Next up, we've got the Lion Rampants. Now you can hip fire while lift is active without interrupting it. Are you a Titan who hates boosting and then having your jump cut short by shooting? Well, have we got something for you. that's super annoying for anybody who's a Titan out there who loves just skating all over the place. Firing your weapon just kind of stops you. And now it won't with the Lion Rampants.
I feel like that could be fun now, with the Skyburner's Oath, since that one hip fires like extra cool. So like,
and it tracks people.
So just be skating around, track firing everybody. Like...
that just picks and up also, the need again for faster gameplay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's almost like they're moving towards it. But it also there's also another rather large change to the rampants. You now no longer have in-air accuracy penalties, which is kind of huge because in-air accuracy penalties suck and shouldn't be in the game. Yeah. And now, at least on Titans, I won't have to deal with that anymore. That's going to be fantastic for aerial use of stuff like submachine guns, hand cannons, definitely skyburners. Very big change coming to those boots, and I'm happy about it.
That's good. Yeah, I feel like Titans are in kind of a weird spot right now in the meta.
They are not my favorite to use, that's for sure. Yeah. right now.
All right, next up for Hunters, we've got the Dragon Shadow. Ooh. This is actually kind of a niche chest
piece.
I'm
so excited for that.
It's already been kind of a niche fan favorite within PvP circles, and it's getting a fantastic change. Now, dodging will reload all weapons simultaneously, and the effects of the Wraith Metal Mail now also include a bonus to mobility. That's pretty huge, you know?
Yeah.
You're already faster when you've got that thing. It's now going to reload all of your weapons simultaneously. Good change. That's a great subclass neutral exotic chess piece. It's going to be coming to
neutral game.
You, Mega. Straight to you. After that, we've of course got the Mechaneer's Trick Sleeves. Dan talked a bit about this earlier. Swapping to a sidearm while critically wounded will greatly increase its damage. Sturm and Drawn. That's all I think of when I hear
Rat
that.
King.
Oh,
Rat King.
You can't say sidearm without me thinking of Rat King. That's the only sidearm in the game, baby.
When they let you use it again, because you can't
it's
have
it. It's still not right. I thought it was. Is it not back now?
I thought it was back now.
Yeah.
Is it back?
It's back,
okay.
Baby.
I haven't
a real rat boy is what I'm hearing, all
right?
Real,
rat boy?
You're right. I'm not a real rat boy.
Real rat boys check their Rat Kings every day. They keep them in their inventory, and that's all they're doing.
Cleaning the barrel every day.
Right?
Just holding the trigger just to watch it light up sometimes. Yeah, I get you. Mega's a real rat boy.
Exactly.
Right. Mega's the rat boy.
That's damn straight.
But now that all the pleb nonsense is out of the way, let's talk about the real stuff. The Warlock gear. The best gear in the game.
Oh, man.
My beautiful lunar faction boots. I'm not saying I'm a prophet of Destiny 2 exotic changes, but I have been saying this for the entirety of this game's existence. Yeah, baby. Lunar factions. No longer have to do the whole entry-exit thing on your wrist to get your ammo back. Just stand in the rift, baby. It all comes back like Actium War
Rig. I thought of you when reading that this week.
Yes! I feel like somebody at Bungie was listening. They were like, TBL wants this to be broken.
That's a very good thing. Yeah.
Rift reload is automatic instead of being activated on entry exit. Empowering Rift makes weapons more effective at extended ranges. That is a huge change for the Luna faction boots.
It's gonna be so great in raids.
And it's gonna be revolutionary to the way that DPS phases go. And it also, I love that they're also giving a benefit to empowering rifts to get you to kind of, you know, hop off of the safety of healing rifts. You get higher effective range. That's literally perfect for DPS phases on, like, Kallus or really any of the big bosses in the game. That's dope. I like it. And I'm happy. You know what? All the rest of the exotic armor changes don't matter. That's the only one that TBL cares about.
I would almost consider making a warlock just for those boots. I'm not going to.
Just wear the dress, Mega. just put on the dress, Mega. Just put on the dress.
Now, these are going to have the same effect in PvP, right?
Yeah.
I do believe so. They didn't mention any specific change.
We're going to see a lot of scouts and a lot of submachine guns start to be used very soon.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We might see the breakaway from the Vigilance, though the Vigilance, of course, we're going to see that still.
Yeah.
Forever. Or until they change it.
Never mind. Forget what I said. Because
you're absolutely right. Submachine guns, you know, a lot of them, especially ones like with Threat Detector, like I think the Hero's Burden, those things shred up close. The Huckleberry on PC is an absolute monster.
So good. I want to use it.
Mixing that with something like the Luna Faction Rift, getting your ammo back without having to really move too much and getting that extra effective range. Boys, getting an Antiope with more range. That's exactly the kind of thing that submachine guns were kind of asking for. So yeah, I'm really excited to see how this is going to affect PvP when Tuesday rolls around. I know I'm going to be testing things out.
Same.
All right,
tell us about the sun brazers. Do it. Sun this is racers. The one I've been waiting for.
The beauties coming back from D1.
Yes.
Original effects has been replaced with this. They've increased the duration of solar grenades, and solar melee kills grant unlimited solar grenade energy for a brief period of time. Are you a warlock who really missed your radiance, your sun singers from back in D1? Well, great. We've got the gauntlets for you, because getting solar melee kills, so you're probably going to have a solar melee charge available. But getting solar melee kills is going to give you a temporary period of unlimited grenade energy.
Oh, my God.
What that means? Hopefully crazy grenade recharge rates, like what you had back in the Radiance days. I missed that so much, and I was super psyched to hear that this change was coming to Sunbracers, because I might actually use them now. I'm cool. I like it. I like it.
It looks neat.
I like that. In order to get it, you got to earn it, though. You have to get a solar melee kill first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to have the charge, mm-hmm. which, you know, thankfully with other abilities and then mods, you can hopefully get your melee kills back a bit faster.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a really interesting ability. A lot of people were complaining, you know, oh, well, the sun bracers, you know, they're the sun breakers from back in D1. They're supposed to give you double nades. Well, now you get all the nades.
Yeah.
All of them.
Literally.
And I'm okay with that. Oh, I wonder what that's going to do for DPS phases, too, because, of course, solar nades are great for stacking damage on bosses.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, my God.
Not bad.
That's going to be dumb. Oh, my God, this is dumb.
Hop what? Off the pillar, slap a dog, hop back on, throw nades. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how that's going to play out. And of course, those are all of the exotic armor changes that are coming this week. We know it's the first round of exotic armor changes that are coming to D2. They're going to be having additional sandbox changes coming sometime during the summer. We didn't really get, I don't think, a specific month. Or maybe we did, just didn't get a specific date. Might be June, might be July. Who knows? We'll tell you when we figure it out. But all right, that's it. Was there anything else you guys wanted to talk about from this week's TWAB?
Yeah, actually, there was a couple things I wanted to go through, and that was some of the patch notes that were happening.
Yeah,
I thought there was a couple things that could be really, you know, great to be talked about. I know a lot of people, raid people especially, are going to be happy that Kallus's shields are not busted anymore. Yeah. I think that's actually really good. And the Shriekers thing. The Shrieker thing in the war set, I thought it was normal. Like, because, you know, you in order for that to work, you could not be above 74. You had to be a 74 or less in order for that Shrieker to stay open. I thought that was part of the mechanics. I thought that was great. You know, it was kind of that little FU that Bungie wanted to throw in if you were standing in the war set too long.
Yeah.
That was a really cool thing because I stopped and like I was like, you know, it's closing too quick. I bet we need to have a lower charge on the war set. And I was right. And I like that. I didn't want to see that change. I thought that was a really cool thing because then I'm screaming at Blueberries trying to say, get out of the thing! Well, you just get out!
See, that's why I don't like it is because of Blueberries and because escalation protocols become public events if they like your phases will become that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want Blueberries ruining my progression through escalation protocol. If it's just a normal public event, I don't care. But I'm like six levels deep. All right. I just want to get moving. I don't want to fail because idiot is still standing in the thing. Like,
that's like the only way to beat level six, too. You have to wait for a public event because those two knights are unkillable without it. Mm-hmm. I thought the same as you, Jake. I thought it was just a fail state. Like, mm-hmm. if you hit a certain percentage without destroying the Shrieker, it just closes, kind of like the servitor. Public event where if you don't destroy those three servitors, you know, within a set period of time, you can't get the heroic. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I had no idea that that was a glitch that needed fixing. I just thought it was a get good moment, like a figure things out and do it right.
Yeah, 100%.
I guess I was wrong. Interesting.
I was excited for it.
Yeah. Is that it? Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Nah, I watched the honorable mention with Gigs where they did the no guns, no problem video. That was incredible. Just to take down the hardest boss in the game so far with no weapons.
Especially
is Gigs
after.
Human? Quick question.
I'm not sure anymore.
God,
the dude might be a walking keyboard for all we know. So I'm starting to think because some of these guys, absolutely unreal.
How do you beat
a raid boss without using a gun?
All right.
Oh, there you go.
But we do have some questions.
Questions. I like questions.
Me too. Arbiter Priest 56 asks, any ideas on what you want this new mode to be? This new PvP
the new mode.
Mode
that they've made.
Well, I've already outlined my roguelike that it's clearly going to be. So.
I'll sign on with
you
Mega.
You start out
I want
with
right
weapons when you load into the roguelike. You progressively get a higher level gear as you go. You can eventually, by the last phase, you can equip multiple exotics that you've earned throughout all at once. Telling you, this is a golden idea, Bungie. Don't sit on this.
I'm so afraid that coding that would
like
break
that
everything.
I'm just assuming there'll never be a world where we can have multiple exotics equipped, because I feel like that's probably like fundamental to the code of the game to not allow it. And like they'll try to change that
something.
And it'll break everything. Like
it's, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. We have
any other ideas? I'm just curious if anyone else actually has an idea of what it could be.
I don't know.
Because it said,
well, didn't they say it was like never before seen?
So it can't
in any
FPS like people assume. It can't. It has to be something like new, right? So what?
I hope we never see the day.
I've been seeing a lot. Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of like promotional hype for it from other websites too, saying like it's something that's never been seen before in a first person shooter.
What does that mean? Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. It's a fighting game
what
mode
do you mean?
Where you have to, it's first person perspective, 2D playing fighter, and you just got to go right at each other and just, I'll be into it. All right. I love fighting games. So give it to me.
Third person without the super glitch over at Anna Bray.
Okay.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I got that glitch once.
I'd take a third-person shooter mode of for Destiny.
Never before seen in a first-person shooter. A third-person shooter.
Call of Duty did it. In like Modern Warfare 2 or Modern Warfare 3, one of those games, they had a third-person mode.
Damn. Well, FPS shucks. MOBA, Nem says. Is that a thing yet? I feel like that probably exists too.
FPS MOBA? Maybe.
I feel like everything
exists.
I don't know what it could be that you like. You could... This is a new thing. I mean, also marketing lies a lot, so it could just be that they're like, never before seen. You're like, well, here's actually 8 obscure video games where that already exists, so like, how do I know?
Shut up, never before seen in Destiny.
We have another one from Helios the Man. He asks, last word or first curse, which gun? And that comes with the playstyle. So which gun
would you rather
prefer?
In D2 or just in general? Like,
maybe I think it's just in general.
Oh man,
last word has so much more swagger. It's so much cooler than the first curse. Like,
there were a lot of people that were like hard on the first curse bandwagon.
That's Nem. I mean, if Nem were in here, Nem's like favorite gun. I feel like he's typing in the chat right now. Like, Mega, blew the first curse is cool. And I'm like, calm down, Nem. All right, I respect that you like it. But the last word is like, you're an actual cowboy. Like, you're just running around. Like, it just feels the coolest of like any gun. I mean, you can't compete with it.
I would say the answer depends. Which last word are we talking about? D1 year one last word or everything else? Because D1 year one last word. Whew. I do declare that gun was something special. yeah, because I would say last word. First curse was probably one of my favorite weapons in D1, but like, God, I loved the last word back in year one. That thing was just so stupidly good.
I want No Land Beyond back. Yeah. Screw your first curse and your last word. Give me No Land Beyond.
Look,
that's what I want.
NLB, can't have primary snipers. NLB is my favorite exotic like ever, but it's also the one I least expect to ever return because it does
this
not
is true.
Fit.
But like, I got my wish list gun back. It was Sleeper Sim. That's the one I wanted. Yeah. I called this months ago on a podcast. I don't know which one. I can't give you the episode, but I said, you know, this would be great. Also, Bad Juju. Yeah, Bad Juju, I think, would be pretty fantastic.
We need more good full auto pulse rifles in D2.
Yeah, we do.
That you don't have to work for, like Vigilance Wing.
Yeah. That's my real answer, is Bad Juju.
I mean, they put Hardlight in, and I'm so that's all I ever needed was Hardlight, honestly.
Have you gotten it yet?
But it's the only one I don't have as well. That's really stupid. I can't believe. I was like, look, somebody sent me that Destiny Sets link, and I was like, well, I wonder what all I'm missing. And literally, Hardlight's the only gun I don't have for exotic weapons. How is that even possible that that's the one? Like, that's just...
That's curse
right
hilarious.
Weird.
All right.
I've got a question for our guest, Jake.
What's up?
How did you get started in gaming? What was your first real gaming experience?
Super Mario World, bro. Super Mario World.
Oh, man.
I lived in 29 Palms, a town of 400 people. And it was because my mom was dating a military guy at the time. So wherever, whoever she was dating was wherever we moved. That's just what the rule was. And we got a Super Nintendo. My twin and I got a Super Nintendo for the first time.
For all you kids at home, it's this one right here. If you don't know what a Super Nintendo is, it's this.
Do you remember how hard? Do you remember how hard the Star freaking Road was?
Oh yeah, Star Road.
When you were a child, legit.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was so bad, and I didn't even know it was a secret. You just tried to get through the secret Star World with the one in the nose, and you had to go up and do the other 10 levels. Screw that place, man. It was so bad.
That's where you got the cool different Yoshi versions. You had to do like the Star Road levels to get all the different
cool... Koopas that look like people.
Yeah. Worth it.
I still question how my younger self ever beat any of those games. I don't know how I beat Super Mario World. I don't know how I beat the original Legend of Zelda.
Because they had nine
I could never do that now.
That was it.
I definitely remember the nine-person matchmaking in Donkey Kong Country 2. I absolutely remember it.
Okay. Oh my god.
I like Super Nintendo. I just beat Donkey Kong Country yesterday. So, the first one.
Dude,
yeah, just played through it. It's a great game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now do two.
Oh, I will. I'm planning on it. I love Diddy's Kong Quest. All right.
Excellent.
Or Diddy Kong's Quest.
Diddy Kong's Quest.
Like, it works both ways.
I always said the same thing. Diddy's Kong Quest.
Goof Troop, bro.
It just rolls off the
Goof
Troop
game is hype. Yeah. The Goof Troop game was hype. This is now Super Nintendo.
I still remember the cheat
podcast.
Code to get to the level before the end. Red, cherry, blue, blue, red. You put that in, you get to the cave level, and you're done in 15 minutes.
Look at that.
Oh,
look at
that. I remember that.
What was the... Oh, my God. You're throwing me down a rabbit hole.
This is what
here.
Happened.
What was the
Moon, see,
what was the Disney... What was the Mickey game? Mickey's... Oh, my gosh. Magical Quest or Magical Adventure?
Mickey's
something like
Magic
that?
Castle?
I don't remember that one.
Something
at
like
all.
That. There's one on Sega.
Oh, my God. What was that?
Porky's Nightmare,
I remember
dude.
Going through... Something like
my
that.
My brother had Porky's Nightmare.
I remember going through Steamboat Willie in that. Yeah. Oh my goodness, this is going to throw me down a retro. See, this is what
this
happens
is what
every
happens.
Time, Mega.
I know.
Every
I
time.
I know.
Castle of Illusion.
Mickey's Castle of Illusion.
My boy.
Yeah,
Thank you.
That one's on Sega.
Thank you.
I just played that like a month ago at my friend's house. We were just freaking playing that
game.
Oh
my gosh, the memories.
I want to see Super Mario RPG make a return.
Yes.
Either as a port over or a remaster. Please give us that on the Switch at some point. That is my favorite game of all time.
Yo, man.
Legend of the Seven Stars, or whatever
love
it's called.
Oh, my God.
This man knows what to do when a giant talking sword slam into the ground.
It's on the Super Nintendo Classic, though, right?
Yes.
I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
If you can find one.
It is.
I think it's easier now.
Maybe.
I'm sure it'll be on Nintendo when Nintendo does coming. Their online service where you can, like, Netflix old games. I'm sure it'll be on there eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible online service.
I'm still upset about that, Mega.
This
I'm
is
still
not
upset
Nintendo
about
podcast.
That system.
We probably shouldn't get into that.
I was
going to
say,
right?
Should we call N64 Josh?
Yeah, let's get him on here. I got
we should.
I got him. Let me hit him up real quick.
Just turn this into a Nintendo podcast.
Do you ever play Legend of Dragoon?
Yes.
Yes.
Nobody
Dude,
remembers that
I
game.
It,
I've been playing
it.
I've been playing it on PS3.
Me too. I have it. I play
it's
it.
Great.
It's so good.
It's like $5. It's $5, and you can get it on PS3. You can also Final Fantasy VIII is also on PS3. Yep. That was one that I spent a long time in a basement with. And dude,
why it got to be a basement though? That's
okay. I didn't own the console.
Break the
stereotype. It was my sister's, and I would mow her lawn in order to.
And you kept her locked in the basement.
No. I would mow her lawn in order to gain time to play Legend of Dragoon and Final Fantasy VIII.
Mm-hmm. That was my routine. School, do the dishes, game until I can't feel feelings, go to sleep for a few hours. Just go to school right after again.
I'm sorry.
Better origin story.
I just love your face like you're sitting there like... Yeah. No, I'm it's just, like no, when I, it's like when a bunch of old friends get together and you're like friends with one of them and you don't know any of the stories and you're just like,
oh buddy, welcome to my life.
I guess I'll just eat my salad, guys. What you guys talk?
Yep.
This is fun.
God damn it!
I want to play a bunch of old dudes talking old video games. Nostalgia.
That's what we're doing.
Hell of a drug.
Love it.
All right.
Oh boy.
Well, all right. I think that's probably a good enough place to call it quits on this episode. What do you guys say?
I need to get back to work before I get fired.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's go ahead and cut it there. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning into episode 158 of the Planet Destiny podcast. And thank you so much to our guest, Jake. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me, man. I'd love to be back again sometime.
Absolutely.
Oh, dude, I want to get you back just so we can shower praise on Streamlabs and the job you guys do, because I
just
want
to talk about Super Nintendo games more. So, yeah.
Let's have a Super Nintendo podcast.
Make a Discord, like, channel for that.
Challenge Mega on stream to some Super Mario Kart and then watch us both fail horribly because there's no traction in that game. It doesn't exist. Yeah. It's the worst of the Mario Karts. Thank you. Good stuff. But before we get on out of here, we are going to let everybody know where they can find us across the internet, starting with our guest. Jake, where you at, man? What you do?
I'm only on two places because I don't believe in too much social media. I think too much just rots the brain. Twitch.tv/TheJakeParker and on Twitter, @Parker on Twitch.
Right on. We got some links for that going into the chat right now. And again, thanks so much for joining us today, man. And yes, thanks absolutely. For the work that you're doing within the community and the scenes and setting up the tournaments. Getting ourselves a West Coast showing. I like it.
Of course, man. Thank you
we'll
so much.
We'll definitely have to have you on after the tournament. Mm-hmm.
I'm totally down to talk about it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yo, Mega, you're shaking your head the way that I like. I like it. Dance and tell them who you are.
Mega Magwitch. Find me on Twitter at Mega Magwitch and twitch.tv/Mega Magwitch, where I promise you I will be streaming Donkey Kong Country 2 at some point in the coming week, just so I can show TBL what it's thank about, you. Baby. These skills.
What's up?
All right.
Miss Moonvald. Yes. Where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me at twitter.com/Moonvald. Also twitch.tv/Moonvald. Yes.
Also on my fan website called moonvaldrules.com. All right. That's
Oh my god.
Angel Fire.
Yeah,
that's one of those GeoCities websites.
Comic Sans header. Yeah, it's
great. I've got really bad like JavaScript sparkles going through the picture of you, like your hair. It looks really good.
Loud music playing in the background.
That's an aesthetic though. Like it's a choice,
that's for sure.
You know what? I'm going to go next because I'm going to let the big man in the middle take the final one.
God.
Hi, I'm the Black Link. You can find me everywhere on the internet. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all at the Black Link. Pretty easy to find. I stream stuff like Monster Hunter, Destiny, and stuff like that you probably don't care about. On to the man in the middle, Mr. Danfinity. Take it away.
All right. You can find me at DanFinitwitch on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/DanFinity. You can find my other podcast, SideQuest Sunday, at SideQuest Sunday. This week we have Evil Aura. In 2 weeks we have Mega Magwitch. And in 3 weeks we have Molly May as Me. With special co-host Moonvald.
Stacked.
Yep, that was a fun episode.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
All good.
Absolutely stacked show. So, now you know where to find all of us if you want to, you know, send us pictures of your Super Nintendo collection. I'll certainly take those, which are up twitter.com, you know, /TheBlackLink. I like Super
Nintendo.
I'll
take it as well. You send me, if I get 10 pictures of Super Nintendo collections tweeted at me, I'll open up a sealed copy of F-Zero on stream.
Ooh.
You heard it here first, folks.
Dig out the collection. But all right, don't worry, Mega, because we're leaving. So that's it for episode 158 of the Planet Destiny podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will catch you next week.
See this right here? This is intact. This is intact, people. Sealed. Beautiful. Oh, see that? All right.
At market value. Look at it.
Awesome stuff.